As you can see, we're handing out the hymn books. Modern technology doesn't always come to the aid of the party, but since we can still all read and hold a book, it's quite reassuring, isn't it? So Richard's just sorting himself out calmly now. So I'm doing the notices in advance of that. So it's a welcome to you all on this. Well, it was a lovely afternoon yesterday, wasn't it? But I think I'm quite glad it's clouded over. I've had enough sunshine for a few days, I think, really. It's too hot and sticky. Just a few notices for what's happening in the coming week. Because we start after a lovely summer, things, groups that had taken a sabbatical are beginning to start up again. So we'd like to draw your attention to a couple of them. First of all, there's a singing group that Hilary and David Garrett have put together. Garrett. It's this Thursday. It's 6:30. It's for an hour, and it's here, and all are welcome, whether you can sing or not. It's to come and have fun and breathe out with vigour. There'll be fun songs to sing. It came about as a result of the choir that we had when we had the Eco Church celebration, and the response was quite heartening. People said they'd really enjoyed doing something like that. So Hilary and David would like to bring us together in informal singing fellowship. Let's be honest, we are Methodists, we can sing and we do like singing. So this is a chance to come on Thursday night, just for an hour, meet friends, have a cup of coffee and do some chest expansion and deep breathing. That's on Thursday, this Thursday. This coming Saturday at 2:30, we start up the film group again. 2 o'clock here in church. It's going to be Ladies in Lavender this week, and we're hoping to run on a fortnightly basis. But we start again on this Saturday, the 16th of September. Also, outside at the front is the petition to sign for Save the Trees on Poynton Pool. People went round a while back signing petitions, but in fact, when they presented them to Cheshire, I understand this from one of the ladies at the council, when they presented them to Cheshire East, they're trying to make it quite tricky to save the trees. So we've got to work round their strategy. So they wanted it, a long line petition didn't count because we'd just given our names. So now the one outside there asks for your name, your postcode and your house number and your signature. And so everyone's working really hard to get thousands of those up so we meet the required threshold for them to have to review the situation because there's such strong feeling. So anything you might have done before doesn't count, sadly. We'll need to sign the one with the postcode, your house number and your signature. And we've got a selection of them out there. People have been going around the village, accosting people in cafes and on the street. They've done a really good job, but we can help by doing that. And now I see Richard at the back. We haven't had a chance to pray, Richard, but I pray that we have. Oh, that's good. That's good. Richard is now ready to lead us. He'll give us the hymn numbers when he announces them. So you've got a book in front of you, and we'll be singing from the hymn book. Thank you very much, and good luck, Richard, and God be with you.
So sorry about the technical problems. I think it's probably my fault to have mucked the system up, but we'll muddle through. What we've realised is that we can actually duplicate the large print copies very quickly. We're starting off with a hymn that's in the hymn book anyway, but after that we'll sing from the hymn sheets, because what I wanted to do was to introduce three new hymns that I've written. I'm doing a master's course at the moment, and for my communications part of the essay, I was told to find some way of communicating climate concerns with some particular group of people. So I chose to use hymns as a way of communicating climate concerns with church congregations. So we're going to sing three of those hymns, and the words will emerge in due course. But we're going to start off with one from the hymn book, hymn 102, a beautiful hymn about our earth. And, sorry, just backtrack one way. This is our Climate Sunday service. So as part of our Eco Church process, we've said that we're going to have one Climate Sunday service a year. This is it. So we're here to celebrate our planet, and we're going to sing For the Beauty of the Earth, For the Beauty of the Skies, hymn 102.
Gracious God, to you we raise this our sacrifice of praise.
Please be seated. Let's start in a brief moment of prayer. Let's just settle ourselves as we come before God. Let's pull away from whatever we've been doing this morning, whatever concerns and panics we've had just before the service. And let's come and focus on God. The God who gives our life meaning and wishes us all to live life that he gives in all its fullness. We give thanks this morning particularly for the created world, for the beauty of nature, for the warm sun that's been blessing us for this last week, and the blue skies. For those of us that rise early, there have been some absolutely gorgeous sunrises and early morning times. Just give you a moment to pause for a few seconds and think of one particular time recently when you've appreciated this world. Whether it is a sunrise or a sunset or the beauty of that gorgeous moon. It might be a plant in the garden or seeing a particular bird or animal. Just think of something that you can treasure and dwell on it now. For all these gifts, we give thanks and pledge ourselves to do all we can to protect this wonderful world. Amen. And we'll have our Bible reading now.
The reading is taken from Mark 12, verses 13 to 17. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then said Jesus to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God." And they were amazed at him. Thanks be to God.
It's strange that I announce a service that's celebrating Climate Sunday and celebrating the gift of creation and then have a reading from Mark's Gospel about money. But what I think we need to appreciate when we're dealing with all issues about the climate is that the state of our current world is largely driven by money. It is largely in pursuit of profit and cheap ways of living that we have wreaked the destruction on our planet that we are wreaking at the moment. So this morning we're going to look at the relationship between our money and the climate, and you're going to look at it in different ways in different groups. But I just want to start off just reflecting on that reading. There have been multiple interpretations of it over the centuries. Some, I would say, ones I want to align myself with and some I want to distance myself from. But the core message is that Jesus asks for a coin. And having been given the coin, he asks whose image is on it. And the image is the image of the emperor. And the inscription on that is Theos, Sabbatos, Kaiser. Theos means God. Sabbatos means to worship. And Kaiser means Caesar. There's a picture of Caesar who is, we are told from the coin, is God, who we should worship, and Caesar. And Jesus is saying, this is tainted money. We don't believe in Caesar as God. We believe that God is God. And he says, give it back to Caesar. I think what he's saying is, don't have anything to do with it. Don't have anything to do, as far as you can, with this wicked, pernicious economic system that is extracting money from God's people and depositing it in Rome. And I think today we have marked money. Almost all the wealth that we have in high-income countries today comes from a history of exploitation. Dates back to the slave trade when we exploited people. And we amassed so much money that when the Industrial Revolution came along, we could invest that money in machines that burn coal and later oil and gas. And because that's been cheap, we've exploited that at the expense of casting huge amounts of carbon into our environment. So whenever we look at money, we are looking at something that is stamped with that history of accumulation. We need to think, perhaps not go to the extreme of Jesus saying, don't associate with money at all, but how can we use money so that we don't use it for the purposes of Caesar, but we use it for the purposes of God? And we're going to look at those issues later in the service. Just as a little interlude, we're now going to sing one of the first hymns that I've created. You'll have picked up over the last couple of years that I'm getting more and more obsessed with the butterfly as a symbol of Christian faith. So this is a hymn I've written about it, Like a Caterpillar Feeding, and you will recognize the tune. Is there a spare copy?
Caterpillar feeding, eating each and every leaf. Our consumption reeks of madness, recklessness beyond belief. Adverts prompt another purchase, peer group pressure drives us on. Using up creation's bounty till our last resource is gone. Like a chrysalis pupating, changing form within the womb, they shall soar for heads of action, they tears on the life of doom. Marker of new lives begun. Help us bring the Christian message of a new hope. for this earth, freed from living for consumption, freed for greening and rebirth.
Right, and now it's over to you. So to each table I've given three sheets. I've intentionally given sheets so that there isn't one each. That means you'll have to read them together. And they introduce subjects that I'd like you to have a chat about. You'll see there's three different sheets. There's a suggested time for each little little exercise, and that should last about 15 minutes. So I'm going to give you till 5 past to work through the sheets in your groups. And the main thing is to start a conversation, okay? If you don't like exactly the questions I've asked, then have a conversation on the same topic. It's the conversation that's important, not the exact question. So 15 minutes on that.
you're just over halfway through, so if you haven't discovered this, there's a back to the piece of paper. It's now time to discover the back of the piece of paper.
Thank you.
that's your time up. But I'm going to give you an extra minute, because after the next hymn, we're going to report back and try and share some of those congregations. So I'm going to give you an extra minute just to think of one thing from your conversation that when I ask you in about 4 minutes' time, you'd like to contribute back to the conversation. Just one more minute to think about something from your conversation you'd like to bring back. Okay, so we'll just give you a little bit of a chance to catch your breath and relax as we sing our next hymn. Everybody apart from John, that is. We'll have to scurry across to the... Going to sing the hymn that's labelled as hymn number 3, God of Truth and God of Justice. And again, you will recognise the tune. Of truth and God of justice, we know climate change is here. How our wealth has wrecked this planet, how the poor have most to fear. Droughts bring famine, storms bring flooding, worse and worse with each new year. Help us speak your truth to power as your prophets did of old. Call to curb immoral prophets, vote for change to break the mold. Listen out for silenced people, let their stories now be told. Give us strength to fight for justice, taking Jesus as our lead. Face arrest or persecution when we ask the strong to cede. We demand the rich and powerful bring about the change we Okay, you can sit down. So let's start off with a blue sheet. Who looked at banking? Which tables? Okay. So each sheet starts off with a headline that puts some figures on it. Okay? And it compares it. There's been some argy-bargy at the moment with the government whether they're going to pay the £11.6 billion that we've already committed to the climate fund, the International Climate Fund. So bear in mind the figure, £11 billion, and think about some of these. So how much money do you think the banks in the United Kingdom have, these are for people not who haven't got the fact in front of them, have got in their coffers? What do UK banks own? In terms of money, what do they invest? And it's our money, what are they investing in on our behalf? How much?
A lot.
It's 8
8,000 billion. It's remarkable, because you divide that by the population of Britain and you think, why haven't I got that much money in my account? It is amazing. 8,000 billion pounds in UK banks, and the government is asking whether we can afford to put 10 billion each year to save some of, help some of the poorest countries on our planet. So that's the statistics to start off with. I'll just see if anybody like to, anything you thought came out of your conversations? Not a lot. What sort of questions were you asked?
Well, we were just sort of seeing which banks we banked with.
Yeah.
And then turned over to see all this type of thing. A lot of these we'd never even heard of.
Yeah, I'll explain that a little bit in a moment. Mm. Anything else from this table? I'll go to the other table. It was this one. Anything come out of the conversation? Sally, you've got your little finger up. Yeah.
Basically, the banks have got an awful lot of control over everything, and we don't largely know, or it's not easily available, where that money's going.
Yes. We don't know a lot of this. It's kept private. Any other comments from this table?
Don't know some of the names.
Okay. Let's go to the little table. Unfortunately, this was something I was going to reproduce on the screen so that everybody can see it. But a couple of years ago, the Good Shopping Guide, okay, did a survey of the most ethical banks. So some banks choose not to invest in fossil fuel companies, or choose not to invest in arms sales, or choose positively to invest in social projects. And they came up with a scale of 100. So 0 would be the worst possible bank, okay? And 100 is the best possible bank, okay? Now, I'd like you all to stand up. Okay? I'd like you all to stand up. I'm assuming everybody's got a bank account. Yeah? Okay. So what I want you to do is I want you to sit down when your bank is read out. Okay? So the worst bank in Britain with a score of 21 out of 100 is HSBC, and that includes First Direct. So anybody who's got that as a bank can sit down. The next bank with the same score is Barclays. Okay? So if you're a Barclays customer, you can sit down. After that, we've got with 25, so a little bit better, Santander. Oh, yep. The next are in 33, so we're a little bit better now. We're up to a third of the score, but still at a third of the score. NatWest and Royal Bank of Scotland, who, of course, are subsidiaries. Okay. Next one with 42 is Lloyds, Halifax, or Bank of Scotland, all part of the same group. Okay. TSB at 55. We've got a competition here. Okay. And then, interesting, one of the comments, I haven't heard of a lot of these banks. A lot of the banks that are doing really positive work in Britain at the moment, you've never even heard of. Monzo. Okay. Virgin Money, interestingly. Virgin have a particularly good record. That wasn't one I've got. The Cooperative Bank. Oh, John's down with me. Now, there's an issue with the Cooperative Bank. The Cooperative Bank had a crystal clear record and recently been taken over by a big American bank, and the big American bank they've been taken over with is one of the most corrupt in America. So it's a bit of an iffy one there. Yeah, you're quite right.
We left them.
Good. Nationwide Building Society? Okay, so we're there. That's 85. So that's 85 out of 100. That's pretty good. And I suspect you bank with them for a reason. Is that right? You've looked around... No? Maybe not. Maybe it's coincidence. But you...
We do have an account Nationwide as well.
You've got an account with Nationwide as well. Okay. So the winners with 85 or above, well, 85 or above are two building societies, the Nationwide and the Leeds Building Society. Then there's a thing called the Ecological Building Society, have 98 points. And a bank called Triodos, which is overwhelmingly the most ethically sensible bank in Britain. It's called Triodos, and you've probably never heard of them. Okay. The top with 100 points is a bank called the Charity Bank, who only invest in charities. So your money goes to support charities with investments rather than donations that they return. And that scores 100% on the ethical guide. The problem with that one is it doesn't actually have a current bank account. There's just savings accounts there. Okay. But that's the list. I'll make sure that a list of those goes out with the notices next week. So if anybody's interested in taking this further, and I'll run away and hope I don't get a hatchet job from hitmen from Barclays and HSBC. Anybody else want to say anything about banking? Yeah, Sally?
We also discussed that, as Christians, the last question on that was, as a Christian, how should I respond to this information? We discussed on here that an awful lot of particularly older people, not necessarily, would find it difficult to bank with a lot of these if they're not local. They can't go into them. And an awful lot of these that we've never heard of that are higher on the list or not local, it rather sort of stops an awful lot of people using them. They might like to, because there just aren't the banks to go into to do that personal. And, you know, a lot of people here, including me, and I'm probably younger by quite a lot for some people here, but, you know, I struggle with online banking. I don't like doing it. I prefer to go into somewhere that's concrete. So I think an awful lot of us said that is a massive thing, and as Christians we would like to go to the top of the list, but that's really difficult.
I think that's a really good point, and I will admit that Triodos is an online-only bank. So, I mean, I quite like online banking. I don't remember the last time I went into a bank other than to deposit Christian Aid money. But yes, these are typically those ones at the top of the list are online banks, and we do have to see that with compromise, we are not able to make simple decisions that are exactly in line with some of the facts we're presenting with. We have to think through how we come to messy compromises. Yeah?
Could I just ask you, about 8,000 billion pounds?
That's right.
Which is our money?
Your money, and I assume there's some corporate money in there as well. But yes.
If there are 70 billion
in
the country.
You've done the sum, haven't you?
We each have 100,000 in it.
Yeah. and I guess that most of us haven't got 100,000 pounds in the bank. I guess that most, anybody want to stand up who has got £100,000 in the bank? So that means somebody does. That means people in Britain have a lot of money and they're holding on to it. And we ask for £10 billion to help the poorest people in the world, and these people will not release a fraction of what they own. Who did the sheet on wills? Okay. Wills. £98 billion is left in wills each year. Nearly £100 billion is passed on from one generation to the next. Again, we can't afford to give £10 billion to the poorest on our planet. Anything come out of your conversations? Like to share?
Sorry.
We've listed a few things here.
So one of the questions was... the first question was, can you think of some bequests that you've know of in the community that have done good? So have you got one of those?
We've got the Salvation Army, homelessness, the church, children and families, and supporting people.
Okay, so these are organisations that we can give bequests to, and I know that different churches in different places. Is there a bequest here that's been particularly beneficial to us? This land? So the land we're worshipping on is a bequest. Okay, so you see, it can make a difference. No, it wasn't. We paid for it. Let's not get tied down on that. Let's move on.
Well, ours have all been places where we have needed help and support. East Cheshire Hospice, Christie's in Mark. We have donated... That's not what you're asking.
Well, it isn't, but hospices and hospitals like the Christie do particularly well out of wills for a particular reason. They serve people late in life, and they often get money left to them. Which was the other group, this group? Anything to say?
We talked about the fact that we should be given while we're here.
Okay.
As well as in our will.
Yep.
We talked amongst ourselves, and we give in our will to those things that have affected us during our lifetime.
Okay.
Mostly.
Yep.
For me, I actually had to
didn't have to. I speak for guide dogs.
Yeah.
And I went and spoke to a group who were there for guide dogs to encourage them to put some money in their will.
Yes.
So I was trying to encourage people to put money in
excellent.
Their will for guide dogs. Well, it's not excellent. Really.
No, it's good. It's well done.
I had a sort of faith. Sort
yeah.
of but,
yeah.
You know, but there are people who do that for a living. Sorry. You know, I don't do it for a living.
Yeah, yeah.
But there yeah. are people who actually are employed by charities
to go and
yeah. encourage people.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments?
We had a part of our discussion. We were talking about which charities you should choose, and obviously people have indicated various reasons why they choose a charity. But the debate also was, should we be giving to very large charities, or should we be supporting smaller local charities? And we didn't come up with a definitive answer on that.
Yeah. So again, there's a big picture. It seems that there's an opportunity when we're writing wills to be generous. We need to be careful that we're leading our children, I think, enough to live on as well. Okay, I'm not suggesting that anybody should be giving all their money to charity, but there is a question, there's an opportunity there to have some balance. I've chosen the wills partly because there is a campaign by Christian Aid at the moment called Faith Will. It's been driven with relationships with the Quakers, the Church of England, and the Church of Scotland. The Methodist Church haven't been part of this this process at the moment, maybe in future worlds. But Christian Aid are encouraging people to consider leaving some money to them and leaving some money to their local church in their wills. Okay? Because it's a way of handing on what's going on, and particularly in a climate context. It is us, our generation in the wealthy north, who have caused problems in the past, and it is people in poorer countries in the future who are going to suffer. And there's something I think particularly about thinking about remembering people in our wills with that intergenerational context. A nice little quote from a Christian Aid supporter: "For me, I think leaving a gift to Christian Aid in my will is important because it says something about me. It says something about the values I had in my life." And I think that's a particularly apposite way of describing what we give in our wills. The final group were looking at a campaign that Christian Aid are running at the moment called Make Polluters Pay. So it's been estimated that the 20 most vulnerable countries in the world have already had damages of £421 billion since 2020 in climate-related effects. Okay? The floods in Pakistan last year cost £24 billion alone. Huge sums of money. At the same time, the fossil fuel companies who are selling products that cause this are making immense profits. Their profits were $213 billion last year. That's just the six biggest fossil fuel companies. And Christian Aid have got a campaign to try and raise public awareness of these issues and call on taxes on oil companies that goes directly to help the people that are being affected by the carbon that's generated from their products. And what I was asking was, how is it that we should act locally to try and raise these issues? So, and I gave Christian Aid are suggesting four things that people might do. The first one is they might contact a local representative, that's an MP or a councillor, and have a conversation with them about how important we think this is. The second one is that we should hold a local pilgrimage, that we should think of moving in some sense from this church to somewhere else as an expression of our concern, probably carrying banners as we do it, or putting banners on our cars, or something like that. The third one is holding a discussion event for the local community. Could we invite people in here to raise some of the issues we've been chatting about this morning? And the fourth one is to hold a local demonstration, whatever that might be. So we challenge the two groups that were looking at this one to think through some of those issues and rank in order of preference which of those four they'd like to get engaged in. We won't necessarily do this, but I want you to think through what the issues were. So I think that's this group over here. Has this group got anything to feed back?
Yeah, we did list some of the big oil, gas and coal. We couldn't list a coal one at all. Coal, so we went into
coal's a bit hidden, but the oil and gas. Yeah.
But the oil and gas, so we did contribute.
And the biggest two in Britain are?
Oh, I didn't do the biggest two in Britain. Well, I mean, we named Shell, BP, Esso and Texaco as...
Yeah, Shell and BP are the biggest companies based in Britain. Yeah.
And again, we came to the Christian perspective on the information. It's giving us greater awareness. And yes, compromise has to come in. We were talking about needing the cars, you know, to get to church. But then other times when we can leave them at home and just being aware of that.
Okay. And did you prioritise these? What was the first choice?
We decided to hold a local pilgrimage.
Okay.
Going from here up Park Lane to St George's and possibly further round. The second we did was hold a local demonstration, but that was...
That was a bit unanimous, I guess.
Not unanimous. Third was contact the local representative, and fourth was hold a discussion. But then we weren't thinking of it as an outward-looking discussion. We thought of it, well, that's what we're doing here today. And we did say almost contacting a local rep and holding a discussion is perhaps the easiest two, but actually getting out there and doing a pilgrimage or demonstration.
Thanks very much.
Everybody else.
That's great. Let's see what the other group said. I think this is what this group, someone wants to contribute what this group said? Rob?
I will. It's not actually my idea. Hillary came up with this idea that you combine A and C. We've got an election in 18 months' time, that we actually have a meeting here before the election. We get the candidates in here to talk specifically about their views on green issues.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Which I think has some legs. But, pilgrimage. Jonathan just mentioned pilgrimage to Stanlow. That would be a good one, wouldn't it?
Combine it with the demonstration.
Yeah. It can be costly. There's a friend of mine who has found himself in prison because he's trying to stop oil lorries going into a refinery. Pardon?
Is that Mark?
No, another guy called Bill. Yeah.
Okay, so there are some really positive ideas coming out of that. And I particularly like this idea that maybe in the run-up to the next election, we could have some public information event followed by some representation from our candidates. So I think we should just park that in our mind because we don't know when the election's coming, but perhaps do some groundwork now to think what that might look like. Sounds a really good idea. And we'll take it to our eco-church planning meeting, because part of the eco-church agenda is doing just that sort of thing, and that's ticking some of the boxes that we haven't yet ticked. So thanks very much for that idea. Let's just come and reflect on our conversations in prayer. God of love and God of justice, we thank you for being with us this morning. We'll all have had different conversations in our groups. Some of these will have stuck to the point, others will have wandered off it. But bless all our conversations as they build us together as your community, building a shared vision of your kingdom and understanding our part in working for that kingdom. We pray in solidarity with people across the world who are already struggling from the effects of climate change. We pray that we will feel with them, empathize for them, and be driven by them in deciding how we act. We pray for all those in power, all those who are wealthy, all those who can do so much to help us where we are, to move to a less polluted world, but also to a fairer and more just world. In a further moment, we just think of anybody generally who we know who needs particular support at this moment. We ask that you will be with them, And we ask what it is that we can do to bring your love to their lives. We ask these prayers through a Saviour who had a vision of what the world could be like, who grieved for what it is like, and was not frightened to take action to go from where we are to where we need to be, even when it led to death on a cross. And we know that that death was not the end, that that message still lives on. And we all still have an opportunity to be resurrected to work for that kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. There was a report from the United Nations came out on Friday. Anybody know what it said? It said it was what do they call it? A checklist, I think, on carbon emissions. And the first message was, we're not doing as much as we can. The second message was, but there is still time to act if we want to. And my final hymn is a hymn that I was challenged. We haven't got the first verse of it on here. We'll have to sing the second two verses, okay? I was challenged to think of a vision of what, at university, of what the world would be like in 2050. And my first reflection was, it's going to be a pretty awful place. And then my second impression was, no, I'm a person of hope. I want to hope that we will take the right path, that we will respond, and that if we'd respond, there will be a day in 2050 which will be zero carbon day, the day when we achieve the objective that has been set by this current generation. So I'll try and remember the first verse, because it's not been printed here. Here we are in 2050. Zero carbon day is here. Climate change has been defeated. Children laugh and adults cheer. True, the oceans are still rising. True, we mourn for those who've died. But let's share the jubilation. We have turned the climate tide. And we'll now sing the final two verses that haven't been published. Again, you'll recognise the tune.
Fossil fuels have been abandoned, panels now lap up the sun, turbines cartwheel through the heavens, silence forests sing again. Poverty is part of history, healthy food brings blooming health. Corporate greed has been defeated, nations choose to throw their wealth. Great was love of neighbour, reverence for God's fragile sphere, active hope for resurrection, vision of God's kingdom here. Through the city runs a river, crystal clear, infused with grace, lined with trees whose leaves bring healing,
everyone can see God's face. Go into the world to love and serve the Lord. And as we go, let's wish each other the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.